Church studying through this past year on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Gospel of John. We've seen Jesus illustrate who he is ultimately through these seven I am statements that Jesus has given. And I find it very interesting as you kind of look at that a little bit more and just the kind of the parallel, the way that these things were almost pointed to, illustrated for us even at his birth. And so today I want to look at this here a little bit more and talk about the I ams of Christmas and tie in what we've been looking at this past year through the Gospel of John and to see how the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, kind of illustrates and reminds us of what Jesus eventually would come and proclaim of himself and about himself. I want to take a fresh look at these things here today here as they're reflected in the events around the birth of Jesus. First of all, that first statement that Jesus gave was, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now remember, when Jesus gave that proclamation, even the words, I am, that was pretty significant. For all those that were there in that day hearing Jesus saying that, you see, that was the very expression or phrase or title that God gave himself to Moses there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses was being called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is thinking, God, who am I going to tell them has sent me? Who shall I say you are? In the burning bush, God came and spoke to Moses. And God told Moses, tell them this. Tell them, I am. I am that I am has sent you. Everything you need, Moses, everything is found in me. I am the great I am, the all eternal existent one. And so Jesus uses this expression, this phrase, this title to refer to himself that he himself is God. So it says, I am the bread of life. And in saying I am the bread of life, he communicates this glorious truth that he came to provide for humanity's greatest need. We would never think about going very long without food, would we? If you're like me, be honest. None of us like to go very long without food, especially this time of year, right? I mean, we have our fill this time of year. We're talking about the turkey, the sweet potatoes, the stuffing, eggnog, pumpkin pie. I mean, my goodness, right? I mean, so oftentimes we don't have to suffer very much going without this time of year. Food provides for our health, our strength, our energy, provides for the countless gyms that open up on every corner here now as well. But food is something that is to be enjoyed. And so food is a good example of what Jesus Christ came to do for us spiritually. He wanted to provide us with spiritual health, strength, and energy. Jesus is the bread of life that not only nourishes us today, but provides life forever. And what's very interesting is everybody knows where Jesus was born. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But what's interesting is Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. The very place that Jesus was born in. And it's prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus comes that he'd be born in this place, Bethlehem. Though it was insignificant. It says in Micah 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be born ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This very place that was singled out to be the birthplace of Jesus was known as this place, house of bread. And so he chose this little, seemingly insignificant village to be the place where Jesus would enter into the world. He came to the house of bread to show us that he would provide for our greatest need. He would be ultimately the bread of life that nourishes us, that strengthens us. It says in John chapter 6, verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's exactly what Jesus did. Not just fed us, nourished us, comfort us, but he came to give us life in him. The second I am statement is, I am the light of the world. Jesus proclaimed that in John chapter 8, verse 12. Now, the time that Jesus was born into the world was a very dark period. It was a time where God's prophetic voice has been very silent for hundreds of years. It was a time where Rome was advancing, moving in and taking control even over Israel. They had lost their independence. People were losing hope, wondering where God was. But But Jesus came into this world to break through that darkness and to shine the light into the world. And it was spoken of regarding his birth. Simeon saying this, we just talked about this last Sunday here. Simeon saying in Luke chapter 2, verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon proclaims this, sings this out when Jesus was just a little baby. He picks him up and he says, "You're going to be a light. You're going to be a light to this world." Isaiah prophesied of it in Isaiah 9, verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Speaking of Jesus' advent, his coming to this world, shining into the darkness. Zacharias also proclaimed in the Christmas narrative in Luke chapter 1, verse 77, "To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us." Zacharias referenced Jesus as being the dawning of a new day. When light would begin to emerge, that day spring, when light would begin to emerge from the darkness. The very birth of Jesus was announced with the reality that light was shining in the darkness. A new day was dawning. Jesus came to be the light of the world, to provide hope and encouragement, to point us in the right direction. Third statement that Jesus made in the Gospel of John said, "I am the gate for the sheep." John chapter 10. "I'm the gate for the sheep." Now, Jesus wasn't just the way in for people. That's what is implied by saying he was the gate or the door of the sheep. But think about how Jesus was born. He was born in a way that showed he was actually there in the pen himself, in a sense. He came to invite people to where he was because he was born by a very humble means in a very humble place, born in a place where the animals were kept. He's placed in a manger, which was a feeding trough for the animals. Think about how Jesus came. He wasn't just the door for the sheep. He was right there where the sheep were. And I think that's a good reminder for us that Jesus is calling all of us in to just simply come where he is. None of us are too far gone. Some of us might think, "Oh, I'm too messy. I'm too dirty. I come to you, Jesus." Jesus is saying, "I'm already there. Come to me." He's invited us in. He is the gate. He's the door. He's the way in. And when we enter in through him, we find that we enter into the very life that he has for us. Enter through Jesus and you will find life. And then he says, fourth statement, "I am the good shepherd." John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. Now, this statement reveals that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one that leads, he guides, he provides for us, and he does it well. He's a good shepherd. He's not a hard shepherd who's beating those that he's trying to have follow him. He's a good shepherd. He does it in love and grace. And of course, shepherds were a key part of the birth of Christ, weren't they? Listen to what Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 18 says. Let's read through that great Christmas passage here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So just as Jesus came to be the good shepherd, he used shepherds to be instrumental in announcing and spreading word that Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived. And that was a remarkable thing to do because shepherds were very much looked down on in that day. They had a bad reputation. Their testimony would not hold up in a court of law. They were untrustworthy. That's the rap that shepherds had. And yet, here God calls the shepherds to be some of the first witnesses of this great miracle, the birth of Jesus. And they take that prominent role of just going and sharing the good news now with other people, so excited for what Jesus has come. Shepherds himself are looking at this one who would grow up to be the good shepherd, the one that would come and lead all people into true life. And then number five, that fifth I am statement is Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection and the life, John 11, verse 25. And I love the parallels between Jesus' birth and his resurrection. Think about that. At his birth, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. At his resurrection, he was wrapped in those garments again. At his birth, the wise men brought spices. At his resurrection, the woman brought spices to properly prepare his body for burial. Jesus came out of a virgin womb, and then he left behind a virgin tomb to show that he came as the perfect, sinless person that defeated sin and death once and for all. He's the resurrection and the life. He says also, number six, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. Now, on the day that Jesus was born, there was still that fresh wave of philosophical thinking and beliefs from the likes of Socrates and Plato that had lived before. People had lots of ideas and thoughts of religion and such. But none of these things could ever help get us closer to God. That's why he had to send his son, Jesus, to come into this world. If any of these other philosophies or religions could help, then Jesus came to this world in vain. It was for naught. It was unnecessary and ultimately cruel to put Jesus through what he went through. But you see, the only way for us to receive life was through Jesus. He was the way, the truth, and the life. Those are spoken of in an emphatic way to say there's no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, there were things that people were dabbling and trying out, experiencing, but nobody could bring them into that ultimate life and eternal life except for Jesus. And then he says, I am the true vine, John 15, verse 1 and 5. All this is simply a reminder that Jesus came to bring us into a relationship with him. That's what a vine does. It feeds the branches connected to it, and it grows and spreads. But they become connected. Jesus came that we might be connected to him. I love what we read in Matthew's gospel, and it was read already this evening here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. So all this is done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Think about that. That's why Jesus came. That's why he would leave the glories of heaven to come to a sin-stained world to take on humanity. Because he wanted to be with us, and he wanted us to be with him. He's the vine, and he's calling us to come and be connected to him, the true vine. Now, let's be sure this season we're not getting entangled and caught up in other things that don't ultimately feed us, nourish us, bring life to us. Let's be sure that we're making Christmas all about Christ. You take Christ out of Christmas, you're just left with a miss. It's different spelling, but that's what you get. It's a miss. Let's be sure that we're focusing on Jesus and just thinking about what he proclaimed about himself and how that was all kind of illustrated in one form or another there at his birth. He came for more than just coming in this world and being born like us. He came to live among us, to identify with us. So that he could take on our humanity and ultimately pay the penalty for our sin. He died on a cross to take that judgment of God for our sin, but he rose again to show that he is indeed the way, the truth, and life. He's defeated sin and death, and he's come to bring life for you. And that life is only experienced by being connected to him, putting your trust in him. So if you're here today, I don't know where everybody's at, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's just been a good story for you. Maybe it's been a little bit of religion, come to church once in a while, but Jesus is more than just a religion. He wants a relationship with you. That's why he died on the cross, was to forgive you your sin, that you might come in and have a right relationship now with God. And that comes about only simply by putting your trust in him, admitting your sin and your need for him as your Savior. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. And let Christmas here this year take on a whole fresh and new meaning for you.